One of the reasons I pray a prayer like that is because, you know what, is listening is a very interesting thing. And, you know, I don't pray that God will prepare your hearts for everything that I have to say tonight, because the reality is that I'm going to say some things that are relatively inconsequential, but God uses the things that I say for each and every person to speak directly to where you're at. It's one of the amazing things about speaking with a living God and like living with a living God is that he can actually take the things that we produce and grow it into something much larger. So something leaves my mouth and by the time it gets to your ears, it's actually way more spiritually powerful than I ever even intended it. And it has that effect. So that's why I just want to, like, I bless you guys in this place tonight to hear what God has for you. And if you get caught up on one element or something like that, just ask God what he's got for you. It's a really cool skill that I've been working on, and I've been able to listen to some teachers now and like just grasp a whole lot more from what they're speaking by asking God what he's actually speaking through them instead of listening to just the words that they're saying and saying, where does my brain line up with this concept? Where does my logic match up with this? And just taking away what I already know from it. I'm now able to take away what God's got for me from it, which is way more powerful. So do that. If it's possible, could we get slightly more light up here? That will happen at some point and be great. There's an iPhone app for that apparently. So we are starting a new series tonight. Good, good. We're talking a series about finances. Oh, I heard some boos, some ahs, and some yays. That was good. Yeah, if you have any of those reactions, you're probably a lot like me, because I have all three. I have a lot of views about finances, some good, some bad, and some bizarre. And so we wanted to do a series, not where we come in here and talk to you about how to invest and how to spend and how to save and how to tithe and all of that fun stuff. We titled this series Godly Perspective on Finances. Because what we would really like to see from this is that we are partnering with God in finances in our lives. We're partnering God in the area of our money, our possessions, and the way that we interact with those things. And we're actually getting God's perspective on that and hearing what God has to say about that. Which means, as I've said many times from the front, in relationship with God, it's not going to be just what I say from the microphone or our other speakers in the next couple weeks, what they say from the microphone. It's going to be what God is speaking to you personally as well. So we're going to give you some things that we've uncovered, but you're going to have to actually talk with God a little bit about this for your own life and say, where do I sit with finances? But what we just think this is a huge area where a lot of people get caught up and God doesn't want us to be caught up with it. Okay? There's a lot of different views that I've run into in my own life, but also in the church. You know, where people get a sermon that leaves them with the impression that God wants them to be a billionaire living in a massive house with all sorts of fancy cars and not really working anymore. Some people will hear a message that leads them to believe that God doesn't want us to have any money and that God wants us to devote ourselves to a life of poverty, where we have to like intercede every single day for our food for like hours with weeping and gnashing of teeth until we get it. Okay, and I'm painting two extremes, but the truth is that most of us probably sit somewhere on either side of those extremes instead of right in the middle where God is saying, this is what the truth is, and I want you to run with this. That being said, I'm not going to lay out for you a perfect plan of where you put your money and what you do with it. So if you're looking forward to that, because you're like, yes, I struggle with money so much, if someone would just tell me what to do with it, I'd be set. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not really sorry. Because it's going to force you into a relationship with God to actually get to that place, okay? Because it's going to be different for each and every one of you. Some people are called more towards the end of the billionaires. Some people are called more towards the end of poverty. But we're not called to either of those extremes. You might be a billionaire, but it's not the billionaire that I described. Okay. Let me talk to you a few things about money. In case you didn't already get the idea that this is important, okay? So, in the Bible, there's over 500 verses on prayer. There's over 500 verses on faith. You combine those, that's 1,000 verses. That's pretty good. There are over 2,000 verses relating to wealth and finances and money. Wow. Most of you knew that already, apparently. Okay. Right. You're allowed to say wow with me and like interact a little bit. I know. I thought that was pretty big. So, also, statistics have found... I love that line. I found a number of different articles online and heard some different preachers talk about this. And they say the same thing, but it's sometimes very hard to find people's sources. So I don't actually have a source for this, but from my firsthand experience, from the people I pulled, it's definitely accurate. But also, according to different speakers and articles, which I can forward to you if you'd like, the number one argument factor in marriage is money. And all the married couples said amen. So that's like another reason why this is a pretty big thing, right? Because you know what it is it really comes down to we don't likely have a godly perspective on finances when we go into marriage, and then the person that we're marrying doesn't either, and then we try to line that up and we both argue for our way, which we think is right, and God is like, excuse me, three people in this marriage? Ask me. I've got the answer. Unfortunately, a lot of people just argue about it, and it's cited as one of the leading causes of divorce, is disagreements on finances. So, we think this is pretty important. In addition to that, some people's relationship with money, people will draw their identity from money. Some people, you know, like they are identified by the amount of money in their bank account. In fact, we essentially worship this in our culture because every year we put out newspaper articles, magazine articles, TV reports, and all these things about people who have a specific amount of money. So it's usually like the millions, multi-millions, and we put out like lists of the top paid CEOs and all of this because why? Because we are identifying, like, because that gives them their identity. It's a way of honoring these people in society. It's a way of building a culture where we really, really pursue an identity that's based in finances. Okay? A lot of people put their trust in money. Right? How many people think about, I'm going to be able to go on this trip because I've set the money aside for it. I'm going to be able to buy my groceries or pay my rent because I work this many number of hours this month, and so at the end of the month, like, I'm going to have all of that to pay those bills, right? A lot of people do that. For most people, that's called budgeting. And I'm not going to say that budgeting is bad, okay? That's not what I'm about to say in this comment. However, in a lot of that, we often can get to a place where we start to put our trust in our finances, and we put our trust in our money to make those things happen instead of putting our trust in God. Yeah. Hmm. So, already we start to see two big, really big trends, putting our identity in money and putting our trust in money. If you've been here for just about any of our teachings ever, we tend to drop little one-liners, if not entire sermons, about the fact that our trust should be in God and our identity should be in the fact that we're His kids. Okay? And if we start to find that elsewhere, we're slipping away from that with God. Why don't you flip with me to Matthew 6, and you can jump right down to verse 19. Let the iPhone scrolling begin. Matthew 6, verse 19. All right. The subtitle in some versions of this Bible is Jesus Teaches About Money. What a better person to go to. Or what better person to go to? Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths can eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. I know most of you are probably saying, what? We'll get back to that. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, that's awesome. Let's unpack it a little bit. Okay, in the first verse, it says, don't store up treasures here on earth because moths will eat them, rust will destroy them. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven. Now, as John said earlier, God doesn't need our money. Okay, so there's not some sort of supernatural transaction. There's not a supernatural ATM where you put money in the machine and it goes up to heaven so that when you get up there, you're rich. Okay, it's not quite like that because God doesn't actually need our money. I don't think we need any sort of money in heaven. So God's not looking for that. So why is he concerned about us storing up our treasures in heaven? Well, the very first part of that statement is very logical because moths and rust can destroy what we have here on earth. A couple years ago, I was really blessed to find an amazing blazer on sale for ridiculously cheap. It was like the perfect fit. Everybody thought for sure I got it tailored because it was like the perfect fit for my body. Loved it. Looked great. And then one day, moths got into my closet somehow and like decided to chew on that blazer. Nothing else. Just put a nice big hole in that blazer on the front. I was like, oh, so frustrating because it's like, very expensive. I don't typically spend that kind of money on, or the kind of money that this blazer is worth, I don't typically spend on clothing. But I got it so cheap, I'm like, this is awesome, it was God's blessing, and then I was all frustrated about that, and God actually brought me to this verse, and it's like, oh yeah, it doesn't even take any unpacking to read into this one, because moths actually destroyed what I was valuing. But it got my heart thinking, and God in that moment, I mean, I found it sort of antagonistic, but I know that God isn't antagonistic, that's me. And so it was just, he started like just kind of speaking this over me, and I got a bit of a sense of peace around the jacket. It wasn't that big of a deal, but at the time I was slightly upset. But what I want us to get here is that God's wanting us to be successful, and he's looking out for our best interest. Okay? It may seem in this verse that God is looking out for his best interest. Store it up in heaven. Where is heaven? God's home. But what he's actually saying is he's saying that, look, you are young. All of us, we are all young. Okay? But humankind in general, you are young. You have some of it figured out, but not the whole thing. I am a creator of the universe, and I have it all figured out. Let me give you some advice. Investing in things here to try and store up your wealth, to try and build up your kingdom so that you can put your identity and your trust in it, be it something small like a particular wardrobe like of clothing that you have to have so you can identify, but it costs some money to get there, or be it something larger like literally a kingdom that you need to build up to make a name for yourself. See, don't do it because it's not going to lead to anything. It's going to cause you more stress and it's going to potentially be destroyed. And what happens then when you put your identity and your trust in something that can be destroyed? What happens? You lose your identity and you lose like all sense of security. God knows that can happen. We, especially in this age bracket, we often aren't, we haven't had enough experience to realize that. Or maybe we have and we've just got a bit of arrogance that says, I'm different, I'm better. Okay? But God already knows that and he's actually looking out for our best. So first thing to keep in mind when we're talking about a godly perspective on finances is that God wants the best for us. If you think that God wants to keep you poor, or you think that God doesn't want you to spend any money on anything that ever makes you feel better, So God, if you think that God says that it's wasteful to like take spa treatments, or it's wasteful to buy like a piece of clothing that you really, really like, or it's wasteful to go out for a nice meal, if you think that God is believing all that stuff about you, it's going to really interfere with your ability to use and interact with money and have a relationship with God at the same time. If you're in that place, this week, just say over yourself, God has my best interests in mind when it comes to finances. You can stop right there and just say, God has my best interest in mind. But in this particular case, you might want to just add in finances there to draw that parallel. Okay? Let me just tell you about storing up treasures on earth. How many of you have seen a preview for this TLC show called Hoarders? Yes, a few people. I say preview because that's all I've seen. I haven't actually seen the show. Okay, that wasn't very many of you, so it didn't prove my point right off the bat. I will elaborate a little bit more. TLC has this show called Hoarders. And Hoarders is essentially a show about people who cannot get rid of things because they're building them up for whatever reason. It's usually, like, just some sort of thing that prevents them from getting rid of things. So just keep hang on to everything they ever get. You may know a hoarder. You may be a hoarder. They can sometimes be the people that drive around in pickup trucks and pick up everything remotely salvageable that they find at the side of the road and bring it home. They often, but not always, they will often live in the country where it allows them to actually store up things on their property. I knew one guy who had like 30 rusted cars. I'm like, dude, what are you, like, these are rusted, you can't even use these for parts, why do you have them? And what it is people who are building up, attempting to build up their kingdom, right? There's usually a fear sense that says, I can't afford, or I can't risk to give it away in case I'm not able to get that back. So it's often motivated by fear. But it's the same idea as somebody who, like, invests a lot of money to build a massive house and hire a whole bunch of staff to take care of their every needs. And what it is building up a kingdom here. But what that leads to is often a whole lot of other challenges on top of that. I mean, these hoarders, most of them, as we see through the TLC show, I'm not getting paid by them, so this really isn't a plug. Yeah. It shocks me every time I see a preview, and it makes me want to just go home and throw things out, even things that are important, because I just don't want to be there. But this whole notion of building up our kingdom brings on even more struggles. These people on this show are just like, they are a wreck because they've got so much stuff and they're so attached to the stuff that they've lost themselves. They can't give something away because it's part of who they are. A lot of really wealthy people, okay, I don't know why I'm referencing TV shows. I don't even have cable, so I see TV like once every 2 months. But there's another show called Operation Repo where they repossess people's things. And it's amazing how many of these people have a lot of money, or are at least living a lifestyle where they spend a lot of money. You should put it that way. And they have ridiculously nice cars. And they get them repossessed, and they freak out when their car gets repossessed because it's their identity, right? They start to really lose themselves and just create a whole mess of problems on top of it because they focus on building up their kingdom here, okay? Don't worry, I'm not saying that you can't ever have anything nice. Remember, yay, God has your best interests in mind.
Yay.
Okay. Then we get on to verse 21. It's a hard thing. Okay? Verse 21 is a really important verse. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Okay? So we all have a treasure. Okay? It may be smaller than other people's, maybe larger than other people's. It may look a little bit different, but we all have treasure. And where we put that treasure is what we are then going to value with our heart in our lives. It's going to be programmed inside of us that we're going to put value on that thing because our treasure is there. Therefore, that's essentially where our treasure is where we build our kingdom. And where our kingdom is where we put our heart. Okay, so that line is missing there. That's Jordan. Okay, sorry. I should clarify. That is Jordan's line that he inserted there. That's not like a biblical mistake where somebody translated it wrong and took that out. But I would put that in. Where your treasure is, you're going to build your kingdom, and where your kingdom is where your heart is going to be. Your heart is going to protect your kingdom, and the whole reason is because your treasure is there. So what does your treasure look like? Well, for most people, that involves your finances, okay, to some degree. Now, I realize I'm speaking to a room of people whose bank accounts probably don't have a lot of money in it. But I don't want to prophesy that over you. I bless abundance in this place. Noelle and I pray for you guys all the time that there would be abundance, okay? So I'm not saying anything in that regard. I just know a lot of your circumstances for those of you who share them with me. And so you might think, okay, well, I don't really have a treasure. I don't know what you're talking about. But things that you put your money into as well is where you are creating your treasure, okay? So for those of us who have spent considerable amounts of money on instruments because we want to get into music, into recording CDs, or just doing worship, things like that, we start to build some treasure there. Okay? For those of us who have invested in an incredible wardrobe because we want people to identify us with, you know, like GQ or Fashion Magazine or something like that, we want to be part of that culture, so we've put our money into those types of things, you're starting to build up some treasure. Okay? And people, where our treasure is, we're going to start to defend that area of our lives. Okay? I'm saying okay a lot. I don't know why. That's not usually one of my verbal things to do from the front. It's okay. Thank you. So, switch it up a little bit. If your treasure is then in heaven, you're going to start to protect the kingdom of God. You're going to start to put your heart in a place where the most important thing to your heart, just naturally by default, without you even having to think about it, is going to be to protect the kingdom of God and to invest in the kingdom of God. So, let me paint both pictures for you. When you're building a treasure here on earth, and let's just, I didn't set out here to pick on any one particular area and try and get you all to change your ways. So I'm not up here to say, don't spend money on clothes. Don't spend money on restaurants. I'm not picking on one single area. I'm just using them because realistically, you could invest your treasure in any of those places or all of those places, and it could be right and it could be wrong, all depending on what God is speaking to you and how you're viewing that, okay? I am going to just use clothes again as an example. So we decide to put our treasure in clothes. Well, if we see an opportunity then, like an amazing sale at a really great designer store, we're going to run out to do that because our heart just naturally is like, yes, this is worth investing in. I don't really care if it's in the budget. This is what that extra money that I have has been saved for because this is where my heart is at. Okay, we're going to jump on that opportunity. The same thing, if we start to see somebody being like really, really derogatory about fashion, we're probably going to jump on that and be like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's all about this. This is what the world of fashion is about. Like, don't you dare talk about fashion that bad if you're dressed like that. Okay? So that's the way that our heart will respond when our treasure's there. If your heart is in the kingdom of God, sorry, your treasure's in the kingdom of God, the way that your heart is going to start to respond is naturally, when you hear somebody talk poorly about the kingdom of God, you're going to say to them, you're going to be like, oh, no, I'm sorry, I think you misunderstand. It's not actually like that. Which means you're going to have to know what it's like. You're going to have to know what the kingdom of God is if you're investing in it. So all of a sudden, like, you see how just that one step of choosing to put your treasure in the kingdom of God instead of here on this earth, it just naturally changes your heart that you're like, okay, well, I actually have to know what I'm investing in then. Right? You don't just give money away randomly to people and say, go spend this for me. I don't need to know what it's going towards. Right? You want to know when God's asking you to store your treasure up in the kingdom of heaven. What is he saying? Right, but then likewise, if you get an opportunity to continue to invest in the kingdom of heaven, if that's where your treasure is, then your heart is also naturally going to jump at that. So if you meet somebody on the street who's like really, really seeking, and they're like, yeah, you know, like I feel really lost and all that, you're going to say, well, let me show you a kingdom that's worth being in. And your heart is just going to jump at that opportunity because that's where your treasure is. Okay, the in-between verses. Verse 22 and 23, I'm going to read them again in case you forgot. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What? What does that have to do with money? I always, sometimes when I read through the Bible quickly, I think, like, I'm just like, okay, Jesus just moved on to another thing. He's doing Sermon on the Mount, like, no problem. He's just going from one topic to another. Totally cool. But then I read through it, and I'm like, no, like, he's talking about money, and he talks about money before it, and he talks about money after it, and it's all kind of like a singular thought, and then this is right in the middle. I'm like, what the heck? So, it's talking to God about it. I feel like it's, what Jesus is addressing here is our perspective. Okay? He's talking about light and darkness, and he's talking about our eyes and our ability to see. Okay? I don't think he's really talking about our earthly eyes and how well we can see, but more spiritually, what our perspective is. And this is directly related to finances. So, I wanted a picture for this because I tend to think better when I can visualize something. And so he gave me this picture of a person trying to thread a needle to sew a quilt. Okay? But they're trying to sew or thread this needle in complete darkness. How miserable and ridiculous would that be? If you've ever tried to thread a needle, it's annoying enough as is. We don't need to complicate it by turning off all the lights. Okay, so then we turn on, or we light a candle, okay? We're now trying to thread this thing by candlelight, and all you can really see is like the tiny little end of the thread, and it's frustrating, but it's doable. Okay? It is doable. Well, that sort of illustrates the line of the verse where it says, when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness, and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Because the person who's in the darkness trying to thread that needle, when that candle comes on, they're like, Eureka, I've got it. I know, nobody uses that word anymore, but I just did, so you can write down the date and quote me on that. So the person is like, wow, this is amazing, I can see. This is like, this is so wonderful, I can finally thread this needle, I'm so excited, I've got so much enthusiasm, I'm going to just like go and sew 100 quilts now because this is so exciting, I figured it out, thank you God so much, you lit that candle for me, it's so incredibly wonderful. Okay, that's awesome, except it's all about perspective. So that's scenario one and scenario two, darkness and light. But then there's scenario three, where God comes and turns on the overhead lights of the room, which are actually like floodlights that are overhead, and he decides to illuminate the room, which we start to see is an enormous warehouse that's filled with the most elaborate quilts ever. And we thought candlelight was good. This is the way that God really is with finances. And if you came in here tonight thinking that you had it figured out because you're like, no, 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 like I've got good perspective on finance. I've got balance in my life. It's going well. My budget adds up. God blesses me. I give. I tithe. All these different things are going really well for me and it's working. I'm set. I can see how it's going to work out. You are still only threading a needle in candlelight. If you haven't gotten God's full perspective, because the way that God works is God actually flips on the lights of our finances and said, no, I'm sorry, earth, you have got it wrong. You do not need me to provide you money so that you can get things done. You just need me. If you would get that, we could cut money out of the equation and get rid of the middleman. You know, I was at a pastor's meeting where we were praying for a whole bunch of vision things. It was really, really exciting because we got some awesome vision and we're really, really feeling God behind this and we're praying and we're just praying like, yes, God, we just pray for all this finances and we're praying left, right, and center that God would provide us the money for all the different vision points. And I was about to open my mouth when I felt God kind of stop and say, what are you about to say? And I was about to pray a really passionate prayer about that because I got some huge vision that like I just feel like God is just laying out massive opportunities for us. And I know that he wants to see it happen. So I know he's going to bless us with the finances. So like, I was about to just pray into that and ask him for it and just like speak life into that vision through finances. And he said, why don't you stop asking me for money and just start asking me for the vision? I was like shocked. And then I opened my mouth and prayed that instead. And we all just stopped in the room. And we literally paused because, like, I got out about three words before. Well, it was probably more like seven because I don't think I could communicate that in three words. Got to the end of it, and I didn't even know what else to pray because I just realized I'd been missing it the whole time. We all stopped. We're like, wow, how conditioned have we been that God has to provide us the finances to make things happen? God only does that because we're too stubborn to let him do it another way. At least I am. I can't speak for all of you, and I don't want to speak that over you if you're not. I am too stubborn most of the times to let God do that another way. Like, we have somebody in this congregation who's now won a couple of trips. It's like, Noelle and I sometimes pray for the money to come in for trips, and we've just realized recently, we're like, we're doing this wrong. We just need to start praying for the trips. Let's cut out the middleman. It's so... I don't feel like I have that light flipped on yet. I am like, I'm sort of, this is what I feel like. I feel like I'm at the stage where I've lit about 20 candles around me, and I'm too stubborn, well, not stubborn, this is a good thing, this is a godly thing. I know God's goodness. I really meditated on that first verse I shared with you, that God has my best interest in mind, and I know that my best interest is not threading a needle by candlelight. So I'm at the point where I'm done threading the needle by candlelight, and I'm lighting candles all around. But in that, I've missed it many times because God is still saying, let me flip on the light. It's not about lighting up enough candles that we can start to see, because that's what I've done, is I've lit up enough of my own candles to see that God's got more to it than what I can really see by my own light. This is all about perspective, okay? I don't want to lose you in the analogy of light and candles, but it's all about perspective. When our perspective is so focused on what this world is offering, like the limited wisdom of man and women, the limited wisdom of humankind is darkness compared to what God has. The only way to cross that bridge is to let God flip on the lights in your life. You're not going to get a motivational talk from the front any of the weeks that we're talking about finances that are going to say, this is the way it is. What they're hopefully each going to say is, you need to turn the lights on. You need to ask God to turn the lights on in your life, that you would be able to see that. Because our wisdom is about this big. God's wisdom, I cannot stretch far enough. Okay? Is that good?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I just want to make a side point, because I don't want to do this at the very end. You'll notice that the following chapter, after Jesus talks about money, Jesus talks about worry. You see that almost back to back throughout the New Testament. Almost any time that Jesus or one of the apostles are talking about money, they also talk about worry. Food for thought. Okay. You cannot serve both two masters. You'll despise one, love the other. It's really, really difficult to split our identity between two things, to split our trust between two things. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. On top of that, depending on your translation, that word money also translates to mammon, okay? And mammon is actually like, essentially giving the characteristics of God to money. And what it means is it's where you personify money and start to interact with money like it's a person, and you essentially create an idol out of money. And in case you don't know, we're not meant to have any idols in our lives, because that comes between us and God. And so Jesus isn't saying, like, you can't have paper with somebody's face on it and coins with an animal pressed into it. He's not saying you can't be in possession of that. He's saying you can't serve that. You can't put the qualities of God onto money and also serve God. Well, what are some of the qualities that we put onto money that are of God? Well, we get our identity from it and we put our trust in it. So there are two things right there. How about we give it decision-making powers in our life? Is money a person? Should it be helping you make decisions? No. If we're letting our money decide for us, then we've given in to the spirit of mammon. And we've given place to the spirit of mammon in our life instead of God. Because there's only room for one supreme being in our life. And that is the only true and living God.
Dude, it's good.
I put my stand on this side so that I keep walking back, because otherwise I sometimes forget that this side is here. Okay. We can't hold on with this hand to money and say, God, I want everything you have for me. We're never, ever going to be able to reconcile those two things. We have to let go of our hold on money in order to grab onto God with both hands. And so many times we've gotten angry at God because I'm stretching out with one hand and I'm not getting the fullness of an embrace that I get with two hands. And I'm mad at him for it. And then I refuse to let go of money because all I'm doing is showing God, I'm flashing in front of his face all the ways that he hasn't come through for me because I've only given him one hand when he's asking me for two. And I'm saying, if you want me to give you two hands, you got to give me two hands. And he looks at me with
his arms out.
They're there. I'm just not taking them because I'm holding on to money with this hand. If I could tell you what that radical shift where we stop believing the lies and the crap that this world has said to us about the importance and the value of money, if I could tell you exactly what that shift looked like, this room would be packed out tonight, this recording would be playing all over the world, and we would have to find a new church building because that information would be so powerful. I don't believe that God is going to give one person the picture of what that looks like to go share with everybody else. God is way too jealous for one-on-one relationship with you to give me that privilege to come in there and say, here's what God's saying to you. Because that would be an amazing honor for him to do for me, but God loves each and every one of you too much to say, you can have this without having to come to me. God is like the perfect father, and so he's not going to give you something you can't handle, but he's ready to give you everything. But he's not going to do it until you can handle it, and you can't handle it until you're talking with him about it. I know that this campus, like, let's just leave all the rest of the Catch the Fire churches and the body of Christ off of this for a second, even though it's true for them. I know at this campus alone, when I look out over your faces, I know that God is calling you to revolutionary shift in your financial lives. He's calling you to be a generation that lets go of finances and grabs onto him with two hands. It will not happen if we do not let go of him, of the finances. If we continue to wait for God to come all the way over so that we can hold on to both and do some sort of awkward side hug with God while we're still holding on to finances, we are never going to get the everything that he promised. I have not seen anything in this world or any one person and the treasures that they have that's better than everything. I hope the way you feel is kind of like the way I feel right now. I feel that sting of holding my hand over a candle for just a little bit too long, and knowing that I should pull it away. I feel that sting right now, that there's something that's like burning at us, and God wants us to like, okay, let's do something with that. We're going to stand up and pray through some things right now, very quickly, because these prayers are not going to make that shift that I'm talking about, okay? You can only do this through relationship with God, but I hope you're hungry enough to want that. Are you hungry enough to want that? Wow, that did not sound hungry. All right, just close your eyes. Make this a one-on-one time with you and God, nobody around you. Ha! God, we are hungry. God, we are hungry for the everything that you promise us. We just declare over this place that you have our best interests in mind, each and every one of us, Papa, and only through you can we reconcile what's best for each and every one of us, Papa. Ha! As I'm going to pray this out, and I want you to hear the words before you just repeat after me. Okay, so I'll pray it out, and I'll pray it out a second time, and you can repeat after me if you're on board with this. But God, we repent for putting finances in a place that you were meant to hold. God, we repent. You can make it personal if you want. God, I repent for putting money in a place that was meant for you. I don't want to do that anymore. God, I want to be sold out to you. I want to cash in all that grasp on money that I've had, so I can grab onto you with both hands. Okay, I really feel like Holy Spirit right now is starting to shift some perspective for some of you without you even being aware. Just stay in this place right now. You just keep your eyes closed. God might be bringing something to mind. This is the power of God. Sometimes he does things without us even realizing that he's doing it. Daddy, I welcome your truth in my life. Why don't you guys just pray that out? I welcome your truth in my life. I welcome you to shift my perspective.
I welcome you to shift my perspective.
Satan, I tell you, you have no authority. To talk to me about my wealth. To bind up any lies in this place that would tell us things that God hasn't said about finances. Bind up any lie that says that we need to be poor to be godly. Any lie that says if I'm right with God, he will bless me to the point that riches are just exceeding in this world. Any lie that says that I have to be at a specific financial profile for God to actually love me, or for God to even be pleased with me. We just bind up those lies right now. We welcome your truth. If it's as simple as you have the best in mind for me, or deeper still, God, we don't want to be a generation formed by what the wisdom of humans tells us. We want to be a generation that changes humankind because of what you tell us. We bless you guys to fold up your chairs, lean them against the wall over here, and grab some food a few doors down. And enjoy this series this month.